Paris était bloqué, affamé et râlant. Les moineaux se faisaient bien rares sur les toits et les égouts se dépeuplaient. On mangeait n'importe quoi. Comme il se promenait tristement par un clair matin de janvier, le long du boulevard extérieur, les mains dans les poches de sa culotte d'uniforme et le ventre vide, M. Morisseau, horloger de son état et pantouflard par occasion, s'arrêta net devant un confrère qu'il reconnut pour un ami. C'était M. Sauvage, une connaissance du bord de l'eau.
Get ready for this crazy book experience. It's gonna be a wild ride. This is the Book Boys Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome, avid listeners, to the episode 16 of the Book Boys Podcast.
Okay. 16 already.
Yeah. I hope quick. You guys like that little intro song that you just heard.
Oh, you're putting it in?
Yeah.
That's a big choice.
I am putting it in.
As I'm not involved in any of this whatsoever.
I'm not involved in either.
It's your thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, I didn't make it. A certain someone called Tal Rosen made it, so you know, go check him out if you think it's cool. Well, anyway, we thank him a lot for his work on it. Yeah. So, what are we going to be discussing today?
So, we will be discussing two short stories by Guy de Maupassant. I hope...
French author, I assume?
Yes, of course. A very, very famous. One of the most influential French authors.
Is he a household name?
He's very much a household name. Shout out to my parents who are probably watching this. You know, they're probably loving this.
It's
a classic French short story.
Mm-hmm.
Two, actually. The first one is called Les Deux Amis.
Yeah,
I believe.
Two friends in English.
The
second one is Two Little Soldiers.
Les Deux Petits Soldats. Which I had never read personally, but I'd read two other short stories by him called La Parure, which was The Necklace.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to read it as well, but problems with translation.
There were some translation issues, yeah.
Which weren't that good, so we chose another story.
Yeah.
And I'd also read La Boule de Suif, which is his, like, it's commonly understood as his masterpiece. It's a longer story, so maybe we'll read it in the future.
Is it a novel or is
it's more of a novel. So,
but it's not entirely though, right?
It's not very long, okay. But it's much longer than
it's
a short
like
story.
It's like a long short story.
Exactly. I wanted to say a fun fact about Guy de Maupassant that I read, which I thought was great because 2 weeks ago I believe we did Leo Tolstoy.
No, it was last week.
Oh, last week. That's perfect then. Yeah. Because so last week we did Leo Tolstoy, which we love.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a couple of essays on Guy de Maupassant,
right,
saying that he is second only to Shakespeare.
Wow.
So that's a pretty big compliment to give to...
That's some real credibility coming from a real credible source.
Exactly. So, he was... I don't know if you know Flaubert, also another very famous French author.
No.
He tutored him, so maybe we could read some of his later. But
I believe both stories are set in Paris.
Correct. Both in Paris, and I believe at this around the same time in the 1850s to 70s.
It's around the time of a war, right?
Yeah.
With the
so
Prussians.
It was the 1870 war.
Okay.
I haven't really studied this one this much, mm-hmm. but it was between France and Prussia, which it was like Germany and a bunch of other states
right.
that had come together.
And were they the way that I read the story? Because I'm not familiar with the history of that war at all, but. The way I read it is that the Prussians have invaded France.
Yeah, they're apparently sieging Paris in this case.
Yeah, exactly. That's how the story starts.
I think it was the time of Napoleon III.
Okay.
But I don't really know much more than that because I didn't really study this.
Right, well, let's get into the literature.
Exactly. So starting off with the two friends,
I think. That's right. So there's two characters in the story. This is my guess at their pronunciation. Morisseau and Sauvage.
That's very good. Sauvage means savage,
yeah.
I mean, in French.
I don't know if there's much meaning in that name.
I think I was going to... Let's talk about it a little later, because I believe there is.
So these are two friends, and the war is going on, and it's... You know, they're both kind of... They don't have money. They're even both very hungry, and they used to fish together, you know, back when times were good.
Exactly.
And they... I believe Morisseau is walking through the streets, and he happens to encounter his old friend Sauvage. And after having a few drinks together, they decide to go fishing.
Yeah.
And from there on...
Like the good old days.
Yeah. They go to...
Because they're both famished as well.
Exactly.
Because it's a siege of Paris, so they don't have any food.
Yeah.
They do have alcohol, though. They do mention that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They drink, I think, absinthe which
right.
is quite strong alcohol, and
yeah.
they say on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
So that's why they... That's also partly why they decide to go fishing at that
yeah.
time.
Yeah. So they go fishing, and they go fishing on kind of the banks of this vineyard. And in the
yeah,
distance,
kind of outside Paris.
Okay, yeah. And in the distance they... Is it a mountain or is it a battle that's going on?
It's a battle that's going on.
Okay, so there's a battle going on in the distance and they hear cannon fire and they see the ground kind of shaking And that's kind of when things...
Go downhill. But they do reflect on it. They're like, why do men fight each other? Which I thought was a very interesting discussion as well.
Yeah, for sure. And what I thought was interesting is they're sitting there and they're fishing and talking and just having a good time. And then that's kind of juxtaposed with not very far away because they can hear it. Yeah. With this war.
The horrible war as well. Yeah. Like cannons and... So it was really violent at that time.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that they're sitting there by this water.
And they get quite mad about it as well. They're like, why do people do this?
And then they have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
Which the story doesn't really go into detail about that discussion.
No, it's quite... Yeah, it's just glossed over.
But I think they say that they agree that man is never free.
Yeah, and that... Oh, yeah, they do talk about the Republic. They say... They say it's the Prussians' fault. One of them says the Prussians' fault... you say they attacked the Republic would never do this. Yeah. And then the other responds with, yeah, but in Republic there's more civil war.
Yeah,
there always is war.
It's either civil war or it's foreign war.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
it's one of the
essentially other. Men just fight. There isn't any man better than the other.
Yeah. And then after they've been sitting there for a while and they kind of go quiet, and after this discussion, they, I guess they're kind of seen or heard by Prussian soldiers.
Yeah.
Or are they just German soldiers?
Prussian.
They're held at gunpoint and then taken to, I guess, sort of a base where they're questioned about a passport, which they were given earlier to enter the...
To come back into Paris because they left.
Right. Oh, that's what's for, because it was a little confusing to me.
Because
is it to go into these vineyards or is it to go back?
I think it's just to move around. In case you get stopped by a French soldier, you would have a password like, I'm allowed to be here.
Right.
And the Prussians want that password to be able to infiltrate Paris, and so they start questioning them.
Yeah, they start questioning them and then... And then the two gentlemen resist. They don't answer, and
which even, I thought was very impressive, and also
it shows the loyalty to their country.
Yeah, their country, but I think it's also very like to each other in a way because they're like we both.
Yeah, like we're gonna stand together because, for each other and for our country.
Exactly, because at one point the leader, I guess, of the Prussians, he separates them and he's like, "Oh, if you tell me, I won't tell your friend that you told me, and I'll let you both go."
Exactly,
and neither of them budge.
Gives into it,
which is quite impressive. So I guess the main theme of this entire story is just friendship, I guess, and how strong these bonds can be.
Well. And then to clarify, they get shot.
At the end, they get shot because they refuse, they get thrown
in the river.
In the river, and their fish that they fished, the commander, I guess, of the Prussian forces says, "Fry me those fish."
Yeah,
you know, so while they're still alive,
they take their food and they kill them. And I think they even make a joke about like, "Oh, maybe we can fish them up."
Yeah, because they throw them into the lake.
Yeah,
so. It's quite. There was quite a few parallels with this short story last week of Leo Tolstoy, mm-hmm. of the young man who just gets killed, who dies for no reason, really. In this case, these two men are just, you know, trying to live their own life, and they just get killed for.
But again, like Tolstoy's story, they accept their fate.
Yeah, they really do, and they
kind of sacrifice themselves.
I love the description of the fall as well. They say, I think one of them maybe. I think Sauvage is the shorter one, so he falls immediately, and the older one falls on him because he's much taller, which I thought was a great little aspect to give.
Did you read in English or did you read it in French?
I did both.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
It's quite different as well because English translated to like modern English, of course.
Yeah.
But the French is older French, so it has a different vibe.
Did you have trouble reading that older French?
No.
Oh, really?
It's not that old.
Because
it's not old.
It's like Shakespearean English.
That's almost a different language at some points. Right. But no, French is just, I guess, the way the sentences are structured.
Okay, so conjugation. It's not like hundreds of years
or
anything.
No. It's just older to read.
The story was only written.
Yeah, it's more recently.
Yeah.
Anything else? Oh yeah, sauvage means savage, and it's, I guess, what I thought, especially at the beginning, sauvage is more the one who, like, initiates things. He's the one who decides, oh, let's go fishing.
He's the one who says, let's go have a second drink. He's the one who says...
Exactly, so I think that's maybe why he's called sauvage in this way.
He's just a bit more dominant.
It's an easy portrayal. I really like the whole description of, like, it was very efficiently done, the description of Paris. Like, I immediately got, like, an image of besieged Paris...
Yeah,
at one point, it says like, oh, in the typical way of Parisians. Like, which I thought was a great comparison to make to today.
Sure,
because like Parisians nowadays always have the, you know, they're all gloomy. They live quite a harsh life because it's such a harsh city. But apparently back then it was a great city to be in, and it was like, I don't know. They seem to be having a great time.
Also,
until the siege, I guess.
I'm assuming none of the listeners have read this story, but the imagery in this story is really quite amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, especially when they're going to the vineyards and the lake and the way the sun is described, and it really pulls you in, the story. Like, I wanted to keep reading.
The description is very flowing. It's very efficient, Very I would definitely recommend reading it. It took me like 15 minutes to read one short story. Yeah. It's easy and you learn a lot. You know? Yeah.
And again, like with Tolstoy, because we've been reading so many short stories, this, again, it feels like a whole. It feels complete.
Yeah.
We're not, it doesn't feel like anything's left to question.
Yeah. It's very, I guess it's different to Murakami in that way, who leaves it very open. In this case, it's like, this is what happened and this is kind of what you're supposed to reflect on in this way.
And, but I think that there's, you know, there's great things about
there's both. There's merits about both. Yeah, exactly. For sure. And a very interesting story. And the portrayal of characters as well. It's immediately you're like, oh, I know these guys, you know?
Yeah.
The description of the characteristics. It's like, oh, this guy's kind of reserved. This guy's kind of like, ooh, he's
the one. You're not surprised when they don't give up the password.
Yeah, you're like, this is, you know, I know these guys. They wouldn't do it.
But then again, that, maybe that also takes away from the story a little bit.
You think?
Because nothing's left up for interpretation.
That's true.
There's no, I didn't write down any questions. There's nothing,
Yeah, but I just thought it was a good portion to read. It was entertaining.
It was entertainment.
Yeah. Really gave an insight as well to like the life of these people.
And I guess there is a very clear moral of stand up for your country.
Yeah, stand up for your country, or I guess even stand up for your friend, which is even more. Stand up for
Paris.
Yeah, stand up for Paris, and or like try to have a good time even if it's bad. You know, like they're on the siege. Yeah. Let's go fishing.
Exactly.
Great. They have great a drink, initiative.
Old friends.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Maybe we should move on to the second story.
Let's move on to the second story. I don't know if we mentioned that we did two stories.
Yeah, I mentioned it in the beginning.
Okay. Very good.
The two little soldiers, which was quite similar, to be honest, to this story.
Yeah, there's
also there's about a lot war. Of parallels. That's the common theme, I guess, the Franco-Prussian War. But when I read about Maupassant, he said, it said that most of his themes are during the Franco-Prussian War. So it was quite an influence on his life, apparently.
Well, I imagine that because that was also probably. A large part of his life was taken up by that war.
Probably. Yeah, probably. But a very interesting, I mean, I guess, time to live in that case, because it was quite developed, but still such a horrible war.
Yeah.
So this follows the story of two young soldiers.
Yeah, it's two young soldiers called Luc and Jean.
Yeah.
And they...
very basic French names.
Yeah, and... It just kind of tells us a little bit about their week to week, really, and how they...
Yeah, their daily
they
life.
They go to the delicatessen, and they buy some things, they buy some wine, and then they go and sit in
the field. Yeah, they have... I think it's like a break, I guess, from the actual war.
Yeah.
And they just have nothing to... Yeah, that's what it seems like. They're
just posted. Off duty. But they're definitely not in the war zone.
Yeah, you know? So they're allowed to leave at lunch together, and so they leave every lunchtime, they go buy some...
Every Sunday.
Wine, which is very French, once again. Yeah, they just go buy some wine and some bread.
Exactly.
And they go eat in a field.
Yeah, and then this... every time that they've gone on that Sunday, and they go sit in that field, this milkmaid walks by.
Yeah.
And for the first... I'm really stuttering today. For the first few times, they don't say anything to her, but they're definitely in awe.
They're in awe, yeah. That's definitely the word that I retained from that.
And I think that, I mean, I can imagine that with being a soldier, you know, you probably
and don't... And young as well.
Young.
Quite influenced.
Don't get a lot of interaction with people of the opposite gender.
Yeah. And apparently from what they describe, she's very attractive as well. She is very nice.
Yeah.
So maybe that could have, definitely influenced them.
And then one day she says something to them, I don't recall exactly what it was, but she offers them some milk.
Yeah, she says, are you guys watching the grass grow? Watching
the grass grow, yeah.
Which is, you know, quite a good expression to have because they're just waiting there doing nothing.
And both of them are very kind of nervous to talk to her, but then...
Yeah, but one of them is a little more forward.
Exactly. And then the story skips from Sunday to Sunday, and every time, like... First it's just milk, then they share a little wine with her, then sits with them and talks
to them. They buy her candy one time, exactly, and she really candy, enjoys it.
Which I actually think was Jean's
idea. Yeah, because it says he's a sweet tooth.
Yeah, but then, eventually Luc takes kind of a day off.
Yeah, they're allowed to, you're allowed to request like a few hours to go do your own things in the army, I guess, if you don't have that much to do.
And so then
I think in French it's called a permission, it's like a permission.
And Jean goes and he goes in the field alone and he knows that his
friend... Well, we don't know this. We just see... Well, we see it from the perspective of the other friend who says, I don't know where he is.
Jean is the other friend.
Oh, he goes alone, you mean? Yeah. I thought you meant the...
No. So he goes alone, he sits in the field and he knows his friend isn't there, but also he notices the milkmaid doesn't come by this time. And then he's kind of thinking, like, what could it be? And then...
Yeah, he doesn't know at all. He has no ideas, no sort of misgivings about it in any way.
And then I think it's either later that day or again the next Sunday, Luc joins him again. And then the milkmaid comes up, and Luke stands up, and he hugs and kisses the milkmaid.
Yeah, which is a complete shock
to Jean. To Jean. He's like, what is going on? And then he kind of figures out, well, that's what he was doing on that free day.
But he's still so traumatized about it. It's like he can't comprehend what's going on. Yeah. And they go to the forest together.
He feels betrayed by his friend.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and he doesn't explicitly say that, though. But it's kind of evident from
things that are said.
Yeah, but it's never said he felt like his friend was betrayed. It was more like he had a face of shock.
Yeah, exactly. And then the two of them proceed to go get milk together.
Yeah.
And then go into the forest for what I assume was sex.
Probably. And he comes back and he's holding the milk this time instead of her. And they hold hands like lovers is what Jean describes it as.
And then they come back and then the milkmaid doesn't say anything to Jean. And it's just Luc and the milkmaid talking to each other and kind of ignoring Jean.
Yeah, he's very left out of the conversation, he says. And she barely says... The key of this interaction that he holds from this interaction is that she didn't offer him any milk.
Yeah, exactly. Which up to this point, she's done every single time.
Yeah, she's always been offering the milk to both of them. In this case, she did not, which shocked him even more.
And then eventually the milkmaid, I guess she goes home.
Yeah.
Or she
goes back to her chores, I guess. Yeah.
And then Luc and Jean, they kind of walk back. And every time that they walk to this field, they have to go over a bridge.
Yeah.
I think we can assume it's quite a high bridge.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And then, so they're walking back. And then Jean is looking over the bridge, like into the river.
Yeah, they're looking together, and they're talking, I guess, or more one-sided talk. Jean's more staring, as if hypnotized by the water.
Yeah, that's what it says. That's
which I thought was a great line as well.
Yeah. And then as though he had seen something in the stream, which hypnotized him.
Yeah.
And then Luc asks him, "What's wrong? What's going on?" And Jean just kind of keeps leaning further and further and further, until eventually. He falls or jumps into the river and he dies. So basically he commits suicide.
And
then the story ends with the line, "Emotion choked him so that he could say no more if he had only known."
Yeah.
Knowing about how upset Jean was about him and the milkmaid.
Yeah, because we never really understand until the end that how bad Jean felt about this.
Yeah.
I guess he was just a very fragile young man. And this is the first sort of spark that he felt with a woman, and then seeing his friend just take it away like that.
It was must too have much traumatized. To take, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that story goes. And just a quick observation I had about the two stories, because obviously there's a lot of
similarities and differences. Yeah.
So in each time we're talking about both stories, we're talking about two friends, and in one of them they're soldiers, and in one of them they're not. And the non-soldiers are
more fighters. Oh, that's a good observation.
And also, they're affected by the war directly.
Yeah.
But the soldiers...
are not.
They're not.
And that's a very good
observation. I thought it was so interesting that the people who you'd expect to be...
Fighting
aren't.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it in that perspective at all, but I guess so. But also, you can tell like how... Clearly, the main theme in these two are friendship, if you had to make a common one.
Yeah.
And...
friendship and war.
Yeah, on one side...
effect of...
On one side, you can see the impact of friendship, how positive it can be. However, on the other side, you can see how negative, I guess, this friendship can be.
Yeah.
Because if they don't understand each other to that extent, then the worst can happen in that case.
Yeah, and these two stories, I think there's a few more, are part of the same...
Collection,
and it's... I think we've done this once before, where we read a few stories from the same collection. It's so interesting to see... even though they're all very separate stories, how many things are kind of interconnected and interlaced.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was... Well, I'm sure there was some thought put into that, but it's just interesting to see those parallels play out.
Well, I guess probably he had probably had a similar experience with a friend or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably a very good friend that he wanted to write about.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very interesting. Both cases, both friends were during the war... I thought it was a good two stories to combine together.
For sure. Really. Yeah, these aren't even like next to each other in the collection.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It's just because there are two friends. We were like,
And we also chose them because of their length, you know.
Yeah.
Because there were some ones that were really, really long.
Yeah, like Boule de Suif.
Yeah.
I thought it was a shorter story than it actually was because I read it a long time ago. But.
And I'd say both of these stories took me about 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, they were quite short.
And I'm sure that the rest of the stories are really interesting too.
We might read more later. I mean, yeah. It's always...
We also
it's a good base to have.
The Edgar Allan Poe short stories where we read like 3 of them.
For sure.
But there's a lot more.
But I'm glad we reread that. I'd forgotten how enjoyable Maupassant was.
Yeah. How was it for you having... did you read those when you were younger?
Not really younger. I'd say like a year or two ago.
Okay.
So it's still pretty fresh, but... Yeah, mostly it was imposed. I don't say imposed, but my parents very much advised me to read it, which I'm okay with. So I read them,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like if I'd found it out by myself, I maybe would have enjoyed more.
Right.
I don't know,
and
but definitely a great author.
And what about as a French person? How is it for you to read them?
Well, I don't know. I rarely read typical French literature
mm-hmm.
because I've been more exposed to like English media and
Japanese
and Russian. Yeah. I'm just very interested by foreign
Finnish.
Exactly. Finnish. Yeah. I love Finnish authors. Because I don't know, French for me, it's kind of like, you know, I know it.
It feels boring.
It's like Dutch for you, right?
I don't, apart from for school, I've never read anything Dutch because I feel like because I live in the country that I'm from,
You want to explore more.
When I do something like reading a book, I want to go out of this country. You know?
Exactly. I had the exact same with French. Until I really rediscovered French music
mm.
because I really didn't listen to French music up until like 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
And then I really discovered this new thing that I really liked. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe...
And you feel more connected to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And then I was like, oh, I'll give a chance to literature, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy literature, especially now that I can compare with like Tolstoy and Murakami and other foreign...
Yeah, it's interesting.
It feels good as well.
The differences, especially in style of writing.
Yeah, it's incredible. Because there are many similarities, but also a lot of differences.
Yeah.
And I guess nationality, or the way you're brought up, I guess, really influences the way you write.
And like the French and Russian authors we've read are very kind of to the point and cut things off at the end.
Yeah.
While like Murakami is so
very
like open. And
it's so like you don't know what's going on most of the time until
like
the end.
Norwegian Wood is such a great example.
Yeah, or Woman
so
in the Dunes. It's like what is going on?
Even more Woman in the Dunes.
Yeah, it's
like
that
you
one's.
You could read that and not get anything out of the book.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. You really need to be in good mindset.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it depends on your mood. I wouldn't say one is better than the other because I mean,
no, of course not.
They're all geniuses, to be honest.
Yeah, we're only reading very high quality.
Which
things.
Is great. I mean,
yeah.
we haven't come to the point where we have to resort to reading like lesser known or less.
And I don't think we ever could.
There's
too
so
much,
much
to read for us. In
exactly,
a long time.
And like a classic is a classic. It lasts forever.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely know that my parents will be glad that we read this because they always encourage me to read French classic authors that they read at school when they were younger.
Maybe one day we can do something Dutch.
Yeah, I'm definitely down, you know.
Yeah.
If you ask your parents
about
it, maybe
about it.
A real classic one, though, like
yeah.
peak Dutch author
yeah.
would be interesting.
That would be.
I've never actually, I don't know any names of Dutch authors, very famous.
I know some, but really only from school. I know like Arnold Grunberg, and he's very popular. You know the book, Het Diner?
No.
That was translated
I have seen it around
English.
School.
Yeah.
He was translating? Maybe we could read that. But if
it
was too common at school.
It's a terrible book.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't like it.
Well, maybe we can, or maybe we can, reread it and talk about why you didn't like it. Which
or, I just had a thought. Your mom gave me that book with the, I think it's Dutch and French poetry, right?
Maybe.
It would be so interesting if we read those.
My mom, I think she gave you Baudelaire.
But there's definitely some Dutch in there.
Okay, well, maybe we can check it out
but
next time.
I think
time.
It'd be interesting to,
that could be definitely
especially
to
with
compare.
Poetry, because language is so important.
Yeah,
if
poetry
we
is
read
a key.
Some translated poetry, or we did like English and French.
Yeah.
What we could even do is we read a few poems, and I read them in English, and you read them in French, and then we compare.
And then we compare how because I'll probably be like, whoa, this is crazy, and you'll be like, this is okay because it doesn't rhyme, or there's something different, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, that could be very interesting. I got to do a book boy's tip of the week.
Oh yeah, it's your turn.
Let's think.
There's so many ideas, you know.
Yeah.
Music, TV show.
I don't
know. Movie.
I did the TV show last time.
Oh, maybe Snowpiercer.
No,
not good enough. It's a good movie that I watched that Max recommended.
Okay, my book boy's tip of the week is that you go and you pick up an instrument. That's gonna be my tip.
That's a very broad
tip. Instead of just sitting here listening to this podcast, you know, go and do something yourself. Go be creative.
Okay. Well, I'll come up with a better one next week.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, viewers. I'll be back to save the day.
All right, very good, very good.
I guess we'll probably be missing for 1 or 2 weeks because we have our vacation now.
That's right, yeah.
We're uploading this right before leaving, so you guys won't be missing us too long.
Yeah, or I might just put it out right now.
Right now? Okay,
yeah,
we'll see. We'll discuss this after the podcast.
There's going to be a bit of a break after this one, but then hopefully...
But Pride and Prejudice will be back.
That's right, I'm very excited.
We're both very excited about this.
It's going to be our first novel podcast.
Yeah, and of course, my whole vacation is going to be linked to reading that book, so I'm going to be remembering a lot of stuff.
Better be good.
Better be a good vacation and a good book.
Indeed. Well... thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening this far. Follow us everywhere.
Please do.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget to read the blurb.